it's Tracy Tully, and you're listening to Tracy Tully Talks at bbsradio.com, the place to be right now, streaming live with another 60 minutes of thought-provoking topics, sharing with you conversations that are relevant today, tomorrow, and in the future. Join me each week on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, 5 p.m. Wednesday PT, hello Los Angeles. If you missed the live show, jump onto your favorite podcasting platform and you'll find me on Tracy Tully Talks. We do have some adult language, so if you have some little ones around, pop on your earphones. Hello and welcome to another broadcast from bbsradio.com, Tracy Tully Talks. And in the studio today is the beautiful Jane Turner. And Jane is a book publisher all the way from Sydney in New South Wales, Australia. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you, Tracy. It's great to be here.
It's lovely to see you again, and especially to be a guest here as part of our interviews that we do every week. So for our listeners, Jane helps people to build their profile and credibility by becoming a published author. So tell us, Jane, who is the woman behind the business Write with Jane?
That's an interesting question. The woman behind this business is a person who took a very, very long time to find out who they actually were. Yeah. I was a public servant my whole working life up to the age of 52 when I was made redundant. And just prior to that, I had started writing a book. And that came about because I'd done some coach training and I figured once I got my daughter through school, I would move away from the government. So I imagined I would be doing that voluntarily. However, the universe had a different plan for me. And the rug was pulled out from under me by the way of being made redundant. And I could not make myself employable, apparently, given that I applied for over 30 jobs, got none. And that reality check gave me a moment to pause and think about, well, what else will I do then? And the book I was writing was essentially about training myself to be well, to do commonsensical things like exercise more and watch what I was eating and watch my mindset, manage my stress as I was moving into the midlife phase. And I imagined that I would comfortably get my daughter through school, then I would leave my government job, then I would start a coaching business around helping women in that life phase. However, that was all fast-tracked when I was made redundant. I had to work out how to get the book finished because, essentially, I'd spent 5 years and over $30,000 on various writing programs, and there I was, made redundant, no more money to buy any more writing programs, which was essentially just my way of forestalling the fact that I had to be prepared to be seen, to take my power back, and to actually get the book finished. So I wrote that book. I was on stage launching that book and I had an epiphany around the fact that I actually wasn't put on this earth to help women through the midlife phase, but I was put on this earth to help people to get that feeling that I had right here. It hit me literally in the chest that I was on stage launching a book only because I had gotten over all of the barriers that I had about feeling entitled to think that I could help people and that my story was worth sharing. And that really was a moment of truth for me where I got to see that I want to help other people to do that. And, of course, many people, there are many roads to get to that same place, but for me, the people I can help are those who want to write a book to build their business or to leave a legacy by way of sharing their story.
It's interesting that you said that, Jane. You mentioned that you were made redundant. So we have a lot of listeners that will be listening today and hearing you, and a lot more that will be coming on board, I have no doubt, this year as COVID keeps rumbling along. Mm. One of the things is you get to a certain age and you don't realise in yourself that you might be considered as past the use-by date. And then all of a sudden the rude shock we get
you are past the use by date, please move on and farewell. We've got the younger people coming on, and we've got to do our statistics and get them employed, because that's how we get paid as a state, employing people. And it's a big reality hit for a lot of people. I would say 99.9% of people. I think very few are really ready for it when it comes. For me, fortunately, after 38 years in the government sector, I removed myself quite ceremoniously too, I might add, and quite enjoyably. But I did do it via an ambulance trip to the hospital, which is my wake-up call, and the cardiac doctor leaned over and she said, you know that job you do? She said, you need to get out of it now. Wow. Because you're not going to make it if you keep going. So, you know, it's that wake-up call. And the fact that you are able to talk to people and help them understand their credibility, which is their identity, and we aren't brought up that way. Very few people are brought up with an identity, because obviously it changes as we grow, as we grow, as we grow. And we all have that imposter syndrome, don't we? We all suffer from that. So in doing that, so you realised that it was time for you to do something else other than helping people get through that stage, and you became a book publisher. Now, I'm a publisher, as you know, and I'm really intrigued. What was that step? Because I know it's complex. It's not easy. Tell us a little bit about that.
And listen, this is a little more complicated, I think, in my own case, because when I was on stage launching my book, I had been struggling, you know, in the 5 years I took to write the first book. Now, really seriously, Tracy, it's a 30,000-word how-to book that shouldn't even take anybody who is no good at writing 5 years to write. I have always been pretty good at writing. I could write a very decent memo, as you would probably imagine, having been in the government yourself. However, long story short, the thing that I didn't realise I was doing in the process of writing the book and prolonging the process was that I was trying to outrun a piece of my history. I wanted to solve the ugly problem that I didn't want to be sharing with anyone in the book. And that was what the little voice in my head, you know, that little voice who'll say in the first instance, just, you know, things like, well, who wants to read a book by you? You're not an expert. You're not famous. Who's going to be interested? But in my own case, the little voice in my head that knew I was wanting to write the book to build a coaching practice eventually was also saying, but who would want a coach who's so broken and so disgusting as you? And, of course, the backstory here is the one that's important. And I talk a lot about the hero's journey, which I won't go into a lot now, but if anybody wants to watch videos that I've made of that on YouTube, Write with Jane is my YouTube channel. But really, the long story short was that I had a 40-year history of binge eating disorder. And when I learned about the hero's journey, which is a part of my process for helping other people to write their books and to overcome any barriers to doing it, frankly, my slight misunderstanding initially of the hero that I was meant to be was that I thought I was meant to be able to come out the other end of all of the good advice I was giving in the book, which I was putting myself through that whole program and sharing my results and my challenges and what have you, but I was trying to sanitize that thing about binge eating disorder, and I was calling it things like emotional eating and sugar addiction. But I realized in hindsight that that book was never going to come out if I wasn't prepared to own who I was and to not believe that I had to solve the problem, that I could only be proud if I could talk about binge eating disorder in the past tense. Yes. So in what we call in the hero's journey, in the crisis point, where you've essentially got nowhere to run and nowhere to hide, if you're prepared to hold your, and I'll put in inverted commas, hold your power and not go and do another binge or buy another course, the shiny object thing, if you just sit in that discomfort, some amazing things can emerge. And one of them was, there were several actually, Tracy, but I'll tell you the important one was that the little voice in the head didn't say to me, you're too broken. No one wants you as a coach. You'll be so shamed and so embarrassed. if anyone finds out that you have binge eating disorder. Well, the little voice didn't say that. It said more words to the effect of, what if that's not what it's all about? And, you know, when I was on stage launching the book, it wasn't only that I had the reality check of not being put on the earth to help women through menopause. It was that without having planned to do this, I found myself looking at my 14-year-old daughter and her 14-year-old friends and saying to them, what I want you girls to know is that there is nothing so broken, so shameful, or so unspeakable about you that you can't tell somebody about it and know that they will still love you and remind you to love yourself. And, you know, it wasn't just those girls who needed to hear that, Tracy. There was a 14-year-old girl trapped in here. Yeah. And, boy, can I tell you, when I got that monkey off my back, it was as if I had a little bit of permission, and it only takes a little bit. It was like I had a little bit of permission to believe that I could help people, that I could make a difference, that I was important enough to actually answer an email that I got one day. And this all speaks to the incredible power in the halo effect, is what we call it, of published author status. Things happen when you're a published author that just don't happen when you don't have that kind of profile and credibility. And what it was, and you will relate to this, Tracy, I got an email in my inbox one day from the organisers at the Women's Economic Forum, and they said to me, Jane, one of our members has just read your book, and they recommended that we contacted you to come and speak at one of our events. Now, the shy public servant who used to hide under the desk whenever there were volunteers being needed to go speak at the staff meeting or go meet official guests or anything like that, all of a sudden is speaking in a forum that over 2,000 women went to. I spoke at the Women's Economic Forum event in New Delhi in 2017. And, of course, do you know what's great, so great about that is not only that I had that fabulous experience, but that I can put all of my female authors on those stages as well. And, Tracy, it was such a blessing for me to watch your Facebook posts when you were in Cairo. And that's, you know, the community of the Women's Economic Forum, you've taken it much further than I have, and kudos to you for really, really taking that mission on board. But again, here we are as published authors, we just have so many different opportunities. So for me, as I said, I was on the stage launching one book, and I often joke about the fact, oh my God, I wrote the wrong book. I'm not now even helping women through menopause. But in fact, Tracy, that was the book that I needed to write to find out who Jane Turner actually is. And what I have been put on this earth to do, because you and I, as businesswomen, we know that there's no point trying to run on someone else's agenda. As a business person, it doesn't work. The amount of energy and gusto that it takes means that really you've got to be doing it anyway. It's the thing you would do even if you weren't getting paid. Because it just feels so darn right. And for me, that journey now of really saving my clients, their version of what for me was 5 years and $30,000 of investment in various writing programs and what have you, is what gets me up in the morning. It absolutely lights me up.
I love that you said that, because you've covered a lot of things. So you talked about the midlife, well, you didn't. You referred to the midlife crisis, and I actually, my first book, which is Fearless, actually started out talking about a midlife breakthrough instead of a crisis. And then, of course, I had started writing that before I decided to go public as a two times whistleblower. And then my whole book changed considerably. And boy, being the first principal, school principal in Australia to ever blow the whistle on education in not only Queensland but in Australia, and not only that but corrupt governments that go with it, it was pretty huge. So my book changed. And as you said, your book opens up something, doesn't it? It opens up a part of you that forces you to be honest. You sort of can't really write a book and pretend. Just can't pretend. Mm. It is what it is, and that's it. And you know there's the potential for millions and millions of people to read it, so they're your audience. So in a way, you're actually committing to them. You're actually leveraging off your audience who read your book or listen to your ebook. You're leveraging off them to give you the power to face your own reality. And that's what I loved about it. It was quite nerve-wracking for me because I really outed a lot of stuff, and it was frightening too. So it did three rounds with the solicitor, and I had to get rid of quite a lot of it and rewrite it three times. But it was when I was in Egypt. I still hadn't hit the button on publishing it before I left. And when I went to Egypt, it was Egypt, it was Cairo, that visit and that brilliant conference, Women's Economic Forum conference, that I did a massive mind shift. So to our listeners, if you want to write a book, my advice, my very strong advice to you is do not hesitate. Don't let the world pass you by and not do it. Because you don't have to be a mad academic or an intellect or whatnot. Here's my mum's book. My mum is 90. She's 90. She's still alive. And this is her book. She wrote it when she was 89 and I helped to publish it. And so my message to you is, to our listeners, if my 90-year-old mum can write this superb book about the days as she was an air hostess, then you can too. And don't ever let anyone tell you, not another, self-published books, because I can tell you the way of the world has changed quite considerably and self-published books are the way to go now, aren't they, Jane?
Well, there are so many benefits to keeping the control of your publishing process, which I feel like it's worth talking about that in a moment, but I just want to talk about your mum. What a hero. But I want to also throw into the mix that if my 84-year-old dyslexic colour therapy expert can write a book, then so can anyone listening here. Because, you know, one of the things that we've got to get over, and I know this in business, but it took me too long to find it out in business, that if you don't know how to do something, but you can do it partway, or you're passionate about wanting to do that particular thing, enlist help. So, of course, my 84-year-old colour therapy lady, she's talking everything out she knows about colour therapy, which is a hell of a lot. It's an incredible legacy she's left, into her iPod. She's getting it transcribed. She's giving it to me. And I've got what's called the three R's. Now, people think of it as reading, writing and arithmetic. Well, mine are rewording, rewriting and rearranging. So there's that done for you kind of service, but there's also the hand-holding where if somebody, you know, everybody's first draft looks like crap. Can I just say that? Everybody's does. So you don't want to be held up by that, but you might not want to take it any further than that because you don't even, you've got one book in you, you don't want to write anymore. What's the point of learning wordsmithing and all of that? Hand it over. Get somebody else to do it for you so that you don't leave money on the table. If you're a coach or a consultant or some kind of a service-based business, you're leaving money on the table. If your intellectual property can be sold, then put it in a book. That's an easy way for people to get to trust you and to see that you have some way of helping them. So you want to use the book as a leveraging tool. And strangely enough, this brings me to the point of self-publishing, Tracy, because the thing about, you know, a lot of people think they want to go with the traditional publishers because there's kudos in that. Yes, there definitely is, but there's upsides and downsides of everything. And for me, for example, my book that is ultimately my business card, and I've written four books now, but the one that's my business card is called Mindset for Authors, How to Overcome Perfectionism, Procrastination and Self-Doubt. Now, if I published that through a traditional publisher, there is no way I would have had control over what the cover looks like. Now, the cover is a branding exercise for me, so much to the extent that I have my website address underneath my name. Now, a traditional publisher won't let you do that. I do that because when I run events, and sometimes I run very big events outside of COVID time, I run events at the State Library of New South Wales, and on those days, on every seat is a copy of my book, because every person who comes into the room wants to write a book themselves. And what I can do by providing them with a copy of mine is I'm essentially building a bridge between them as the potential client and myself. So self-publishing has a lot of things going for it.
I hear you, and I can understand for any listeners who would think it's overwhelming, and it is. It is people like you and I who have been writing all our lives. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, writing ministerials and legal documents and just memos and, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. You're writing all the time, but you're writing someone else's agenda. You're not writing your own passion. And so for our listeners, please don't think that it needs to be overwhelming. Just pick up the pen, the power of the pen. Pick up the pen and start writing and just use a book like that. Something really simple, because that's what my current book looks like. It's not here, otherwise I'd wave in the air. But my current children's book looks just like that, and now it's been typed up, ready to go to Illustrator. But it's no different to what you could do on your computer. There's nothing different for you if you want to start writing. So don't think that you can't. Don't think that you have to have a degree, a university degree, an academic degree. Don't think that, you know, you have to have gone through grade 12 or something. Anyone can write a book. But if you find a publisher like Jane and your weakness is grammar or something, then that's looked after by someone else, and then they edit it. That's all done with them. You don't have to stress too much. So it is well within every single person's reach, isn't it, Jane?
Oh, absolutely. And look, the other thing I bring to the table as well, and why I've written a book on mindset, because it's true that those things, the procrastination, the overwhelm, as you said, self-doubt, perfectionism, these are the things that stop a lot of people. And back in the day when I was employed from the government and I got my coaching qualifications, I also got my NLP qualifications. So not that I use a lot of NLP, I am able to bring that perspective to the table to help people to get the awareness that, yet again, they'll tell me, you know, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, look, are you sure that's not just the little voice in your head? Mm-hmm. Actually just being really tricky, because it is really tricky, that little voice, just being really tricky with you. And when you're telling yourself you're too busy and you're going to put it off for 6 months, are you sure you can't find 20 minutes a day? Mm-hmm. Are you sure you couldn't put or half a day a week aside? You know, these are just really questions that I ask just to rattle people's cages a little bit, because I just don't want people, you know, don't die with your story in you.
Yes. Exactly. Don't die with your story in you. We were just talking, listeners, before, whilst we're in the backstage waiting for the broadcast to commence, and we're chatting about that, about trying to squeeze as much as we can into our lives, because, you know, we're dead for a long time. And it's, I suppose, one of the things that really pushes me, it really inspires and motivates me, is to do as much as I can for me, for what I want, because I've given my whole life, or a good part of it, to the government. And as we all know, there's nothing there. There's no, you don't reap any rewards from that ever. And I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone and said, oh, hey, I just love my 38 years of government. It's probably not going to be that. So you need to think about what is your passion and go for it. And as Jane says, the doors that open when you publish your book, the doors that open are phenomenal. And sometimes you don't see the opportunity right away, but it certainly comes, doesn't it, Jane?
Mm. Well, my first book, as I said, Mindset for Authors, the book that I thought I shouldn't have really written in the beginning, but that book in particular got me full page coverage in the Australian Women's Weekly, full page in Prevention Magazine, full page in Wellbeing Magazine. I was on the 7:30 Report, the House of Wellness, and the Today Extra program. and a whole lot of, you know, other smaller magazines online and offline. And, you know, seriously, you just raise your visibility to an extent where opportunities come your way. And then the thing is that you've gone through a journey of writing the book. And for me, that was the huge transformation. Mm-hmm. For you, yours was more stepping on stage, Tracy. But the thing is, when we really turn up and are open to the opportunities, then you'll often find that they're there. But for me in particular, that book was the one that got me there, and then that extra bit of credibility to be the one who is chosen. I was chosen by the Australian Women's Weekly because they chose two women who had written books on menopause. And one of them, the other one, had used hormone replacement therapy and I had not. So, you know, the book opened the door. Otherwise, they would have not known about me and they wouldn't have been able to frame the story around the fact that here are two books on the market at the moment with different approaches.
Ah, that's great. And to our listeners, I hope we're inspiring you and motivating you to step outside your comfort zone and to seriously consider writing and publishing a book. And Jane's right here in the studio with me. And we're all online now. Everything's done online. You don't actually have to. You don't actually have to send big, massive amounts of paper. It just goes online in a normal Word document. It just goes online, and 40,000 words goes through really well on an email. There's nothing hard about it, except up here. If people say to you, "Oh, you know, what do you want to do that for? Why would you do that?" I got that a fair bit, and I ignored it. But a lot of people will have a struggle ignoring it. So just go with your gut instinct. And if you want to publish your book, you have Jane here in the studio who's sharing what she does and how she does it and how momentous it is in your life for you. So what makes your particular business very unique then, Jane?
Look, I think it's the fact that I do a lot of hand-holding. I'm not teaching people how to do it so much. I'm showing them how to do it initially, but I'm there all the way. So I'm essentially on tap for my clients. I think the combination of, in terms of the process that I help people with, the combination of the hero's journey and learning styles methodologies sets me aside to an extent as well. So essentially my program is built around overcoming what I identified as the five main barriers to writing a book. And those barriers are, and I'll just list it out and then I'll say a little bit about each of them, but they're, you know, it's process, structure, mindset, energy, and feedback. Now, process is fairly commonsensical enough. It's about where do I start? What do I do next? How many words do I have to write? How do I, you know, how do I organize them? How do I get it published? How do I leverage it to make it worth my while for having written it in the first place? So process, first one. Structure is the second one, and that's actually all about how to get the information out of your head and onto the page in a way that will resonate with your target audience. And then mindset, obviously, is about how to overcome the things that I've written the book about, you know, how to overcome the perfectionism, procrastination, people-pleasing, shiny object syndrome, you name it, all sorts of things can pop up that will give you very, very good excuses not to write the book, but they're not good reasons. So mindset, how to stop playing interference on yourself all the time. You can tell I'm really passionate about that one. Anyway, moving right along though, there's energy. How do you maintain your creative and productive energy in what is a reasonably big project? And I will get back to that question of, you said 40,000 words, Tracy. I'll get back to that question of word count in a moment. But how do you maintain your energy over this period? And especially if you're still struggling with mindset and still unsure about process and still worried about how to structure your book, well, I have a creativity priming meditation that I put together with a sound healing expert who's worked with everyone from Fortune 500 companies to, you know, just people like you and me, frankly. And I've put this really powerful tool together, my creativity priming meditation, and that's all about energy, and to a lesser extent about mindset. But then before I forget about number five, which is actually the kicker, I call it feedback, but that's AKA accountability. But it's more than just accountability. It's about remembering to celebrate your wins as well. So celebration, I'm both the stick and I'm the carrot, if you like, in terms of my clients, because it's that whole package of the various things that can get in the way of getting the book finished. And I've my first 5 years of struggling to write my own book, I got to understand the barriers really, really, really well, so that coming out the other end with the passion to help people not struggle like I did is what gave me that clarity about what is the enemy here? What do we have to be able to overcome? So that's my way of helping people, and I think that's unique in terms of what others do. There are other great people out there. I've got lots of people doing the same as what I do, and that's absolutely fine, because the people who need me find me. I know that to be the case. I trust the universe in that regard. But just to get back to a point that you made about 40,000 words, some people have a real hang-up about it. Oh, but yeah. I can't write that much. Or on the other hand, they've maybe written 95,000 words. I get people coming at either end of the spectrum, yeah. Tracy. Yeah. I've got people can't stop and they're at 95,000. I haven't had anyone over 100,000 yet. But anyway, the point of the matter is that I have had a client write an 11,000 word book that has not only changed her life but many other people's lives. Now, she's written about her 5 involuntary admissions to mental health wards and coming out the other end of that. Coming out at the other end of that for someone who works in an organisation earning a 6-figure salary who's just bought some property in Sydney. So, you know, if she can overcome that, then it gives a lot of people a lot of hope. That's a book that's essentially about hope. 11,000 words, changing people's lives. She's now been inducted into the Black Dog Institute as one of their speakers.
It's good, isn't it? And that's the thing, is saying you don't have to do 40,000 words. And if you're wondering what 40,000 words looks like, that's what it looks like. And it's no big deal, as you said. My children's book I'm currently writing, which will be snapped out next week, is 7,000 words. So I've gone from 40 to 7. Makes no difference. But it's part of a trilogy. It's the first one of 3, but a totally different concept. And that baby has been in my head forever, for probably 40 years. That particular book, and my kids have had a lot of input with it, and my husband's had a lot to do with it. So it's a real story of passion. I've been able to weave in a lot of people I know into that book. It could almost become a cartoon quite easily. And I've got the phenomenal Sean Lay, who's a cartoonist here in Australia. So Sean Lay is the illustrator I know. I know.
Fantastic. This book sounds, the trilogy sounds like it's going to go great guns, Tracy.
Yeah, so and that's what happens. You know, who would have thought? I would never have thought, with my imposter syndrome, that Sean Lay would be illustrating my book. And when I met him, I didn't even know who he was. And he had heard me speaking on the stage, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, "Oh, you know, sounds good, that book, children's book, and tell me a bit more." And I told him, and I said, he said, "Oh, what sort of illustrations are you looking for?" Because I'd mentioned I'd lost my illustrator. And I said, "Oh, I need a cross between Foot Rot Flats and the Thelwell ponies." And I said, "No one in Australia would know those nowadays." And he looked at me and said, "I do." And I said, "Oh, really? Okay." And he scratched his name down a piece of paper, and I was in a hurry, stuck it in my pocket. 3 months later, I looked at it and I thought, "Oh, gee, I better follow this up." And so I rang him, and I found out who he was, and I thought that the imposter syndrome is really, I thought I'll only be able to afford the front cover, that's all. But what a fabulous gentleman. We had this incredible, incredible conversation, and the world opened up well and truly, that he was happy to work with me and work with my story, and it was phenomenal. So that's what's coming next for me, a total different book to this one, but still as exhilarating and as exciting And more doors I know will open in that field of children's writing as well. So people who are listening today or who will come along to listen further on in this YouTube in years to come, don't let mindset trip you up. Mindset is a big problem, as we all know. We've all been there. And I know I have to get up really early in the morning and give myself X amount of time, which I did yesterday. Gave myself 2 hours and I smashed out 3 chapters and edited it till it was the way I want it to go now to the editor. And you just need to say, can I do that? Can I find an hour in a day? Of course you can. Turn off Netflix. Of course you can. You can find an hour in the day and write your book. And now, Jane, where can they find you? So these listeners are going to start getting very excited about this. Where can they find you? How can they find you?
Lovely. Yeah, well, if you go to www.writewithjane.com, you'll be on my website, and the very first thing you'll see is the opportunity to sign up for a complimentary 30-minute consult with me. And I'd love to answer questions that any of your listeners have, Tracy, because I'm sure anyone who's thinking now, oh, maybe, well, I wouldn't mind if I could get up on a stage and talk, and I wouldn't mind if I could get some spots in the media like that, and I wouldn't mind if I could change people's lives through touching them with my book. And that's why I quite happily have conversations with people, and I want to just let everyone know you're not going to be sold to like a mad person. I've been on so many calls that I feel like, oh, that was just a big waste of time. I wish I didn't fall for that again. Don't worry. I love talking to people about writing their books. And sometimes people will go, okay, I want to work with you. And sometimes they don't. And sometimes I get a brilliant surprise in the mail because someone who's had one of those conversations with me sends me a copy of their book. And they might even acknowledge me in the book. And then I might ring them back and say, hey, that was lovely. I'd say a lady's name, Georgina. I'd say, Georgina, that was lovely, but I didn't really help you. You didn't sign up for mine. She said, no, all I had to do, you gave me enough faith in the ability to be able to do it, and I went away and did it, and I'll be always grateful to you for that. So please, guys, if you've got any thoughts at all about writing a book, you won't be wasting my time, I promise you, and you won't be wasting your own. I'm pretty sure you're going to come away with something if you come along, have a conversation with me and see where we go from there. So writewithjane.com. And what else was I going to say? There was something there. No, it's gone now. There was something else I thought about.
Sorry, I'll come back to you.
We'll come back to it.
I'm going to interrupt you anyway because I really want to share with everyone today my little story, how I got to meet you. And so I was at a conference in the Brisbane, and it was lunchtime, and a friend that was next to me said, oh, I'm going down to the shops to get lunch. Do you want to jump in and come with me? I said, yeah, actually I will. I'll jump in. It's a fair way to walk. And jumped in, and then she was on the phone the whole time to yourself, unbeknown to me. And of course, when you're in a car, you can't not hear. You just can't. You can't. So anyway, I could hear her talking about writing a book. And of course, you know, that made me glow because I had written my own. And I thought, good on you, how exciting. And, you know, I was getting excited listening to her excitement as she was, I think, signing off or getting ready to sign off her book with you. And then I heard her mention Egypt. And I thought, oh, gosh, Egypt, that took me in. That was on my bucket list. That's been my biggest bucket list thing in my whole entire life besides writing my children's book. But that was one place I really wanted to go. And then at the end of the conversation, she said, oh, sorry, when we got there to the shops, I said, oh, no, no, no. And I said, do you mind if I ask you about the conversation you had with Egypt? Because I couldn't help but hear it. And I heard that you're going to Egypt and I want to go too. I just want to go, how are you going there? And she said, just ring Jane Turner. And so I did. I rang you. And lo and behold, the next thing, my world has changed and I'm getting my all my documents in order, and I'm getting my passport and flying over to Egypt and standing on the stage. And then a whole world, new world opened up for me. But there's one thing I want to tell you out of this story, because it was a fabulous story. But then Jane invited me to a book launch in Sydney at the State Library. It's the State Library of New South Wales, and a very famous library, you know, beautiful, beautiful building, one I've driven past. And oh, who would have thought I'd be standing on a stage in the State Library? And Jane invited me to launch my book and to launch my mum's book there too. How exciting. So authors, potential authors, want to be authors, would be authors, someone who has a pen and can write. And if you can't, then do an audio. But you can do this too. You can have this for yourself too, to be able to stand on the stage and tell other people, because your story is equally important as everyone else's, isn't it, Jane?
Absolutely. And a tip too about you were saying you could talk the book out. There's a great little free app that I could recommend to everyone listening, and that's called Otter, O-T-T-E-R, like the little animal, otter.ai. And you download that for free on your phone, talk out. All my ideas go through Otter now. All of my ideas for blog posts, and I'm, you know, just finished my fourth book, Mindset for Business. And all of that was generated by way of me going on my morning walks and talking it out into my phone. So you see it being transcribed. Oh, if you're holding up the app. Yes. You see it being transcribed as you speak.
There, Otter. Yeah.
There it is, Otter. Now, the little tip I have about using Otter, or this is how I use it, once I've finished, I email it to myself. I then open it up on my desktop. I copy the words into a Word document. I hit the play button so that I'm reading it as I'm listening. So that way you're picking up any glitches that Otter hasn't quite understood your accent, or you might have mumbled a bit, or it doesn't always get the punctuation right. But, oh, my God, does that save some time? And it saves that freezing up at the keyboard. The keyboard, you know, we can be programmed to think the keyboard looks like work. We can be programmed to think that the pen and paper feels like school. If yes. you're being triggered, and this is me and the mindset stuff, if you're being triggered like that, then you go for a blooming walk and you talk it out into your phone. You know, do your dot points in advance of the important things you want to cover, talk it out into your phone, and you're off and away, really. You don't overcomplicate things.
That's right. So Otter is a voice to text app. It's free, though I paid for the next level because obviously
I've had it.
But it is a brilliant, brilliant app. It's really good for when you have any meetings. I drive for very long distances, so I talk to Otter all the time and get my thoughts down, and then who knows what those thoughts become. But Otter's a really good one. So is another app I've found for my computer called Audacity. Do you use Audacity?
No, I'm exclusively Otter person myself, but I know Audacity's great too.
So just for our listeners, if you are worried about what you sound like, it's good to be able to speak your book also on Audacity, because what it does is it helps you hear the story back. It's so someone's scribing it, like someone's speaking to you about your story, reading your story to you. It's your own voice, but it gives you a lot of confidence with what the sentence structure sounds like. So pausing and stopping and then putting some emotional oomph into it and making it come alive. And that ignites your passion too, I find. Audacity, and I use Audacity to help people, and I teach people to speak, and it's a really good tool to help people learn to speak. So tell me now, what challenges have you overcome since you've become a publisher?
Look, the whole thing about building a business off the back of what I'm passionate about, it's like, whoa, how much time have we got here, Tracy? How many challenges? Wow. Well, as I said, I always, it seems my pattern is when I've got an axe to grind, I write a book about it, because it helps me to consolidate and to feel like there's been a point. Because if I can save one person the difficulties I've had, that makes writing a book feel like it's very, very worthwhile. Now, challenges in the business space, very much around the fact that, and I'll share with you what I was going to make the subtitle for Mindset for Business for, and then I think you'll get a bit of sense of the challenges I may have had to overcome. So I joke about the fact it was going to be Mindset for Business, how to avoid every sleazy bastard who tells you that their program is all you need to get to seven figures. Now, I got some counselling around that, and they said, oh, maybe have that, don't have that, you have that in the book, don't have it on the cover. So, in fact, I'm having it on the back cover. I am. But the main subtitle now is, of course, it's about making good decisions. So this is Mindset for Business, the Art and Science of Sound Decisions. And behind that, of course, to be able to make good decisions is about not having all of these sort of potentially destructive mindset patterns playing out. And for me, it's probably not as big of a chunk in the book as it is a bigger, as big of a deal for me, but people pleasing. Holy moly, did I sign up for stuff that was essentially kind of like moon dust? You know, and it was just because the person had a likability, you know, that I can see fakery for what it is now, because if there's one thing about business, it's one of the best personal development experiences you can ever go through. So I'm wiser now. But the person once told me that the sea of service-based businesses helping the small and medium enterprises, the SMEs and the startups in particular, that ocean that we're swimming in is full of sharks and dolphins, and it's often very hard to tell the difference until you're bitten by one. Oh, and I was bitten by a couple.
True that you do, you're open fodder, and that's why it's really good to hear you today to give a voice to the person behind your business Right with Jane. And so the beauty is that the authenticity and the realism, because by word, there's a lot of sleaze buckets out there, and we've all been caught by them. I have. I mean, I had a person ring me up the other day trying to extort money from me. And, you know, once upon a time I would have been really polite because that was the way I was brought up. But within seconds I just went from zero to hero, and I just tore him a new one, absolutely tore him a new one.
Oh, I love the way you work. But have I got time for one more story?
Of course you have.
And I remembered what it was now, but I couldn't remember before. And it was about that idea of changing people's lives.
Yes.
So back to that first book, Thrive in Midlife. And it's where I've come good with owning my story, the good, the bad and the ugly of it, you know, not calling it sugar addiction, not calling it emotional eating, though it was those things, but it was also, and, you know, quite seriously, a binge eating disorder that I had. Anyway, I got my books off the, you know, from the printers. I've gone down to Canberra, which is where I'm from. You know, that's how I got the bug of being a public servant. So I've gone down to Canberra for Christmas, and my great friend who now lives in Birmingham in England, she came back to Canberra for Christmas too. And, of course, I'm, you know, proudly sharing a copy of my book with her. I saw her a few weeks later and she said, oh, Jane, I'm really sorry, I haven't read your book yet. And I said, oh, no worries, that's all right. Look, seriously, well, you know, you get around to it when you want to, but I just proud to give it to you, frankly. And she said, no, well, I gave it to my sister to read because she's in hospital at the moment. And, you know, she was being assessed for suitability for a liver transplant because for as long as I had binge eating disorder, i.e. 40 years, she had a heroin addiction. And when my friend said to her, Jesus, give me Jane's book back, I want to read it quickly before I see her again, the sister said this to her. She said, oh, look, I've only got about 10 pages to go, but I don't want to finish it.
Yeah.
And my friend had no idea what that meant. She said, what the hell? What do you think she's talking about there? And I said, I think what she's talking about is that possibly for the first time in her life she feels like she's understood.
Yes.
And that she's not the only one. Because essentially what I did with food, she did with heroin. No difference whatsoever. You know, I dare say I've messed my liver up a little bit too over that period of abuse that I gave my body. However, you know, both of us, the sister and me, are survivors. And I thought at the time, I said, I'll get you another book. Leave the book with her. She can have it. Oh, in fact, I'll maybe go over and interview sign it for her one time. But frankly, if that book did nothing for another single person, it would have been worth writing.
Oh, exactly. And now what you're talking about with hand-holding is really powerful, extremely powerful. I was listening to Clubhouse the other morning and a business person was explaining how they hold people's hand, and when they help people, they don't want them to leave. They just don't want them to leave. They don't want to let go because they feel they've got that positive, you know, they've got that positive feeling, and they've got that positive feeling because they're in a network, in a community of like-minded people who they trust and are supported. And that is what you're all about. That's the key I found, is this incredible giving and sharing nature of yours. And for anyone listening who wish to write a book, you really want someone to hold your hand, to be able to ask them as many questions as you want. You don't want to push, do this, do that, and just treat you as a number. You know, you are a person, you're writing a book, so that hand-holding never goes away. I would reckon you'd always be there for them if they ever the next book and the next,
In fact, a business coach told me I'm one of the worst business people she's ever met, because I don't put an end, you know. I like to give people an incentive to get the book finished by a particular date, but I've had people come back to me three years later, and that's not ideal because they've not had all of the benefits in the meantime. But if they needed to take that time, and in one case the person had a baby, so I'm going to cut her some slack. I don't abandon people just because they don't walk to the beat of my drum. Yeah. I just think that's really audacious of a lot of business people to work in that way, and actually a little bit greedy in many cases too. That just the one thing I do want to throw in as well is that question of publishing. Yes. There are a lot of ways to waste a whole lot of money and a whole lot of time. So if anyone's at that stage, please take advantage of booking in for the chat with me, because I'll fill you in on all of the options. If you want to completely self-publish, I have my own publishing company now, the Power Writers Publishing Group. But if you want to completely self-publish, then I say more power to you, and I'll talk you through how you can do that. And that's no money to me, but the more great books that come out to the market, the better the world will be, is where I come at this question from. But oftentimes too, people will come back to me because they want to take the opportunity of getting the bestseller status that I can help them with, or they want to be speaking on stage at the State Library, which you will be doing in a few weeks, Tracy. And the point of that, of course, is that books don't sell themselves. You've got to get behind. You've got to be promoting. And the 20 minutes of really high-quality footage that you get from the State Library is a great way to actually get onto the speaker circuit. And even if you're on the speaker circuit already, it's a piece of footage that possibly gets you to take that step up to being paid rather than, you know, having to do it for free, or in some cases having to pay to do it. So there's a lot of opportunities that I can open up for people if they've already written a book, or, you know, just thinking about it. Let's have the conversation, because you might be surprised.
That's right. So listeners, if you've already published a book and you don't want to publish another one, but you want some more opportunities opened up, then knock on Jane's door. Go to her website, www.writewithjane.com, and get that free, book your free chat and have a yarn. I use a lot of Aussie slang, and like some of my listeners say, I can't understand what you're saying. So have a chat, have a conversation with Jane, and find out what else you can do, because I didn't publish with Jane. I didn't even know Jane existed when I published my book. Oh, well, I'd already gone through the process, so all I had to do was get it boxed up. But that's something else. That's a bonus, isn't it? And here I am talking to you and interviewing you today. So tell me, if you were to have a conversation with your younger self, what nuggets of wisdom, Jane, would you give your younger self?
I would say, don't be so afraid
Yeah.
And don't worry about people judging you. They're too busy giving themselves a hard time, like you're giving yourself one.
Exactly. Beautiful, beautiful nugget. And a lot of people will say, oh, don't do that. But they can't say that if they haven't written a book themselves. Mm-hmm. And you can guarantee that no author is going to tell you, don't write a book. You can absolutely guarantee.
It's true, isn't it? Yeah.
So do it. Yeah, absolutely do it. We've only got a little bit of time left. So to our listeners, I'd just like to thank you, Jane, for coming on board. You can find Jane at www.writewithjane.com and jump on and don't hesitate. Life's too short. Have lots and lots and lots of wonderful stuff happening to you in your life, and only you can make that happen, no one else. But Jane is there to hold your hand. So to our listeners, thank you so much for listening to another inspirational 60 minutes of chat and talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, and I will hear from you again in 7 days' time, next Thursday at 11 a.m. Australian time, Brisbane, AEST. Until then, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and think seriously about writing a book. And it doesn't matter how long or short it is, and it doesn't matter what genre it is, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. And whatever you do is doable. So thank you so much to all our listeners today. If you'd like to scroll down to the bottom of www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks, you will be able to leave a message for me and I'll be able to talk back with you there. So thank you and all the best. Farewell. Thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. Tune in every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Leave me a message on my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. If you're interested in lifting the profile, presence, and profit of your business, sponsorship opportunities are available. Until next Thursday, it's goodbye from me.